Hey, this is Bachelor PhD coming at you.
So, Craig, did you like last night's episodes?
Yeah, this morning's episodes? I'm Team Kat.
You're just not letting it go.
I like her energy. I think she brings it. She brings a good, mixes it up a little bit, energy.
What I will say, I kind of agree with you, Craig, because what I'll say is that Kat doesn't put any facade or like couch her language in other examples or like dance around the subject.
But as reality show fans, don't you think she's, another way to say this, except she's stupid for reacting the way she does? Like this is a year one reality react.
Well, like somebody told her to go with it and she's going with it.
No,
I mean,
she is not.
Someone told her, this work if you keep being mad, and she just kept being mad based on whatever
I don't
someone
think that's
told
how
her.
Well, based on what I saw, based on what I saw online, she's still mad because, and so I don't think she's being coached. Apparently, she was on Twitter/X and posted something along the lines of like, did I agree to go on that date with Tanner? Yes. Did I pull Brayden aside and talk to him before we agreed to this? Yes. Did that get cut out? Yes. Did Brayden pretend like that conversation never happened and went and cried all day? Yada, yada, yada. You can Google it, everyone listening. And so it does feel like since that was the only story last week besides Sam having a pooped baby, that they really had to cut it down to like make something happen, which is telling the tale of the failed project that is Bachelor in Paradise.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we'll get to it.
Golden Bachelor is kind of a different story. Golden Bachelor was more of the same.
Yeah.
Well, right. It's a continuation of last week's story, the Golden Bachelor was.
To answer your question, I did not love Golden Bachelor like I usually don't love it, but you know it's fun to watch Teresa get increasingly unhinged.
Is it Teresa getting unhinged? I mean, I feel like Teresa's doing her same old shtick, and it's caught on camera this
time. I don't know. She's got those like unhinged eyes that are starting to become more and more.
She's always had that creepy off stare that at first we were like, that's rude of us. And now I'm like, no, wait a minute. She does have like something going on there. Recap, you know, at first, like last week, I thought Kathy was being bitter and jealous. But it turns out, you know, the more that episode last week, you know, at the end of the episode, I did understand Kathy. And once we spoke on this podcast, I thought, yes. Teresa is exactly what we were saying. She's manipulative, and that's the way she talks, and she's also not aware, but also very aware. She's just built into her at this point. And like you were saying, Rob, that she's trying to main character herself and psych out the competition, right? It's a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they continue this week by... So here is Kathy and Teresa again trying to hash it out, but like why again, right? Was this a setup or was this them trying to say, look,
you kind of don't get it.
Yes, this was on the
tennis
court. Yes.
We can listen to this, but like remind me, wasn't this after Teresa talked to Gary?
No. So this is why this is important, because it was before. This is why she talked to Gary again.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I just want to make sure everything's okay. I don't hold grudges and nothing I do is malicious. It was just who I am. I'm a very open, honest communicator. I just wanted to make sure everything is good with us.
You know, this is hard on everybody.
Yes.
I was going to say tonight, like, please don't tell me anything about what's going on. That makes me anxious. That doesn't work well for me.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So we're seeing if the rose ceremony the other night. I'm standing there, I have a rose. You say to me, I'm so glad Gary gave you a rose. And I said, thank you. That. And then you said, I know he came up to my bedroom and comforted me. You know, that the other night cannot happen again.
I never, ever meant anything bad or malicious. I was really just trying to share how it went. And I kind of thought
over this again. Hear me. It is a matter of being kind and being thinking, gee, will that hurt her feelings if
I
say,
I guess
do you see that?
Yeah, I didn't think I was not being kind. I didn't realize it, but I can see it now.
So I have to tell you something. Gary and I had a private date last night, and he's going to send you home.
I love it. I love that she did that to her.
If that were true, would you want to hear that? What I just said to you, obviously I'm kidding.
That's fine.
Well, then there's something wrong. If you think that's fine.
No, because I'm so open-minded that I want him to be with the best person. I truly do.
You ever heard the expression, don't kiss and tell? That's all I'm... Seriously?
So that was a mistake. I made a big mistake, and I'm so sorry. And maybe I say too much, but it's not malicious. I don't want it.
So can I just give you some friendly advice?
Mm-hmm.
Zip it.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, like, maybe it's a product of editing, but I am a little bit more on Teresa's side after this conversation, only because, like, Kathy should be taking her own advice since it's gone on and on, right? Like, if she said it and Teresa's not listening at this point, she's like, you don't need to, like, just beat a dead horse on this, Kathy. She doesn't. And also, the fact that Kathy is like thinks her way is the highway. I still think Teresa like knows what she's doing but wants to act, you know, like, oh, I thought everyone blah blah blah, but that's my Craig impression too. But the thing is that Kathy seems smart enough here to be like, okay, Teresa's just not gonna get it, and now she's just acting out of anger.
She's trying to teach this
person a lesson.
She's making her pay, right? And that's the thing there, is that she goes through so many ways of trying to tell her this is not okay. And even when Teresa says, I get it now, she knows that she doesn't get it. So she says it a different way. She goes, what if, you know, let me put you right in the middle of it. You don't get it that way. Okay. Do you ever heard this saying, you know, and she doesn't get it that she goes, okay, I understand. But obviously she still doesn't get it. So yeah, it's a punishment at that point. And just telling her, how about this? Stop talking, which isn't the great. So, okay. So now we can go hear Teresa telling on Kathy to Gary, because she's already been scolded by Kathy 3 different times, and each time it kind of gets worse. Although I think the crying on the stairs was the worst one.
Teresa gets shown once again talking about her dates when the old bachelorette shows up, and she's
Trista?
Like,
"Oh
she's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
I had the first one-on-one date, and our connection
she did
is
it
so strong." Yeah,
so we know she is like that. The problem is that the audience at home says, well, that's just the half of the audience, or maybe I think maybe even more than half, say, like, that's just the way she is, accept her. And most, and then the other side is like Kathy, who think, stop, you know, we told you this is not okay to do, and you keep doing it.
And at some point, you just have to, like, cut your losses as Kathy.
Right. So the issue there is that does Kathy sound like a nag, like, you know, to use a woman stereotype, like a nagging older lady?
No.
Versus is she just so frustrated she just can't take it anymore? Okay. So here is, but then, you know, to make it all even worse for Kathy, here's Teresa telling on her.
I really truly thought everybody would go on a date and then come back and say it was great and share it with the group.
Yeah.
I just thought that's what you could do. So from day one, Kathy's always said to me, you're the one, you're the one, you're the one. And I thought that she was my friend, and I thought I could just say whatever. Guess I made a mistake of saying, you know, we had a great date and we had a great connection. I was trying to be really nice to her, and she went to me and she said, just snip it, just snip it.
I'm really disappointed to hear that one of the women in the house would talk to another with that level of respect. There's no way to know exactly what happened. I wasn't there, but there's this disturbance that I find very disappointing.
There's a disturbance in the force, EZR. There you go.
Mm.
You got your Star Wars reference.
This Why would I want a Star Wars reference?
Prequel-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of standing around in front of a green screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little upset that, Teresa can't even quote Kathy correctly in this.
Right. It's Is that malicious?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying she says snippet and not zip it.
Oh, right. But the way she says it too is much. I mean, this is the thing. Oh, did she hear it that way, or is she actually maliciously trying to make Kathy look worse? And
well,
because Teresa,
what you're asking is an unhinged person aware of what of them being unhinged? It's like. It's much like when you talk about people with mental illness and being psychopathic. Does a psychopath know they're a psychopath?
That's how far can we excuse unhingedness, though?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Unhinged is not a medical condition.
Does an unhinged person know they're unhinged? That's a simple question.
Or is it narcissism or sociopathy?
The mild consensus we said last week, or at least me and Rob did, was that it's so ingrained in her generation to act this way that she has no desire or want to change. Also, she does not understand why she should change, and she decided a long time ago, I'm this way. I will never change. You know, she decided long. Even when she could have changed, that she's not going to. So
I think there's a little bit more awareness than you're giving her credit for.
But it is aware. It's aware that she doesn't care what other people think, and she's going to play it off as innocence and naiveness. Mm. And it became innocent. It became it's just built into her.
Yeah. In addition to like what both of you are saying, and I can only speak from personal experience, but when I was younger and I felt hurt from something someone said and I had to like reiterate that to like an authority figure, which I guess Gary is here.
Mm-hmm.
I do know, and I'm talking like maybe middle school into a little bit of high school, and I can't, it doesn't really matter, but like I remember this vibe of like, well, I can't say exactly what happened because it won't make any sense because this person wasn't there, but I can retell the story to make the person hearing it in my mind, make the person hearing it evoke the emotion that I'm feeling. So whether or not that is the exact quote or the exact phrase, they're going to take it in the way that I'm feeling. So like this sounds a way that's going to make Gary feel frustrated or angry because I felt frustrated and angry without, and it's kind of like Cliff's noting the whole thing because she didn't want to go like, well, 3 weeks ago I was on the stairs crying with Kathy and yada, and then having to make it just sound like this long elaborated drama. I think she trimmed it to just get the emotional parts to hit the point.
Right. The thing is, the added layer to everything you're saying, Rob, is roll the tape, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Watch it. He says, I wasn't there. Might as well could have been. There's a way to do it.
You want him to go to the director and look at the dailies?
No, I think he was right on with what he said. But I'm saying that's the one exception here, is that we are taking sides because it's nebulous to everybody. It's not a clear cut. And Rob, I'm glad you said that about being a kid, because the way I like I have regular friends and then I have mom friends, and the way I decide what mom friend I'm going to keep, because I'm very particular about my mom friends, is if they parent their kids in a way that I have that same issue. I was very, my feelings were dismissed often. It doesn't mean you have to like go crazy on your kids and like, oh, how did that make you feel? Where are you? You know, but when something comes up that bothers someone a lot, you don't have mm-hmm. to say it's just a stupid toy or whatever. Yeah. You can say, well, what's the issue here? And understand it without dismissing a lot of parts of it. And that's who, and then anyone who parents like their parents did is like lazy parenting to me. And I don't want their ways around me and probably for the most part, their kids around my kids, because they will be just as mean as their parents are. Especially, you know, so all that to say that.
What are you trying to say, Easier?
I'm trying to say that in that way, Teresa is understandable, but she's old enough that there's no power disparity. Like, there's not a power discrepancy here.
Between yeah, certain Teresa life and Kathy. Lessons have never happened to Teresa. That like, yeah.
Well, she got married when she was 18, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
arrested development, I believe is what they call it.
Right. But ultimately, Gary, no matter what is happening, Gary says, no matter what happened, meanness has no place here. Therefore, Kathy is gone. And Kathy is saying, Kathy eventually tells him, like, look, I'm not a villain here, which I really appreciate because she's looking at it big picture. She's like, I don't stop all of this. Like, you guys are in this weird corner, and I'm trying to tell you that it was a disagreement. It wasn't like I'm, you know, singling her out.
And well, also, when did Kathy ever say, you're number one, you're number one, you're number one?
Right. That's Teresa. The way Teresa felt, that everyone was treating her special. Like, she's the main character, as you say.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. so... Anyways, yeah, and, you know, Gary, I'm starting to even appreciate Gary even more for his emotional intelligence, because he goes out of his way to make every woman feel special in, like, this crazy way. Like, that talking outdoor cook, Susan, you know, with the short black hair.
Oh, hell yeah.
He like, gave her a rock, you know, yeah, a crystal, but a rock. And I love the, yeah, like, just the leftovers of being a good dad is so interesting. So just to like really pin down Gary here for me, he is so emotionally intelligent. And that's what the producers, like, that's the one thing the producers sometimes can do, is they can spot a train wreck or a very smart person. And for the first episode of something, you have to go that way to kind of set the bar high as the golden Bachelor, but also the gold standard of reality TV romance shows. So number one thing he does that's emotionally intelligent for a man, that you never see men even do, the first thing, but the first thing you have to do is not run away from a problem. Love it. Second thing mm-hmm. he does is he correctly identifies a problem. Now the second thing takes like actual wisdom, but the first one is just literally just not running away from the like, that should be, you could force yourself into a problem. To face a problem. You could force yourself to understand it. And if more men did that at a younger age, there would be less stunted men out there. PSA, totally PSA to the world, anybody.
Well, we were at least people of our age, men of our age, cishet men, maybe not just cishet, but anyway, we were yelled at a lot, and that was our learning lesson.
Mm-hmm. So, sure. They hate getting yelled. People hate getting yelled. Like, to me, so I don't mind getting yelled at.
Avoid confrontation by...
Right. That then you turn into, like, falling down Michael Douglas's. Cause
exactly.
Like, oh, no, you got yelled at once. You know, we all get yelled at. I don't know. I like bus drivers yelling at me.
Well, you end up learning. you end up...
You hope. You'd hope.
You would hope that, like, people learn. I know I have...
You get yelled at a lot by bus drivers, Easier?
Yeah. I don't care. I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
what do you do?
I'm just kidding.
I get yelled at by subway people a lot. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Exactly. I get yelled at all the time, just randomly. So it doesn't bother me at all. But I know plenty of men who are my age or older who get extremely bothered that anyone would even raise, like, they obviously have a trigger. And maybe it has to do with, you know, women of a generation ago did not know how to raise men. They were scared of their sons, or they like replaced them with the husband. Yeah, lots of issues.
Like Fight Club.
No, but it's not
a generation of men raised by women.
But you can't blame a mom for that, because a son, it's you know, people are talking about doing self work and they don't ever address that.
Yeah.
So do the whole self, you know, don't just ignore the fact that you have some deep trauma about getting yelled at. No, Craig, I outlawed Chuck Palahniuk a long time ago on this podcast.
All right. Okay. I just really like him in high school.
Yeah, me too. We had this huge discussion about lots of things. But anyway, okay. Now we can go back to the like tidbits of the date, because that big fight was, I don't think, if Gary didn't feel it with Kathy, okay. But he kind of made it sound like the meanness was, he had to pick one because this fight wasn't going to stop. Even though he might not have been into Kathy. So I think it was a thing to do. But at the same time, I'm like, did you not like Kathy or did you not like the fighting? That's a hard one.
Yeah,
Didn't like Kathy.
Yeah, I think he just didn't like Kathy either. I think he liked Teresa more. And if there's two people fighting and one of them seems to be the source of the problem, like of the antagonization from the like, he didn't like Kathy. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. That's totally fine. I just couldn't. I mean, the thing is, that's all the only light I ever saw her in. What else? Craig, he cut April, your Frankie Valli lady, not lady at the time, child at the time.
Yes.
He cut, well, the wild part was that someone on The Bachelor, I mean, I think someone else missed like a birth. Oh no, they were going home to a birth. But like if your kid's pregnant, I don't know. And then someone missed a wedding.
Right.
I don't know. Then they played Never Have I Ever for the benefit of us at home.
I would lose that game all the time. We could play it right now.
Gross, Craig. I don't want to know. They did it for us, right? They did it so that we would be like, yes.
We don't have any ice cream, so we can never play it.
Think about sex. Oh, yeah. Or have had sex. Yeah, okay.
Old people have had sex.
Yeah, it's for us to be like, oh, like it's like a little... you know, fantasy suites, here they come, kind of thing. Like,
she's like, for mothers I've to watch this with their daughters.
I've had sex in a library before, and if I'm married, I'm going to have sex in a library again. Or something like that.
It'll be like that that Touch in Public song that Tom Sandoval did in a library music video. Anyway.
That's a you and Craig thing. Oh, even Craig doesn't know.
His Tom, real quick, David Lynch minute. Tom Sandoval's musician partner went full QAnon and then jumped off a bridge. It was very interesting.
Whoa.
Yeah, and then they never talk about it anymore.
Then what? Well, what about the sex? What are you talking about the library?
One of their music videos for a song called Touch in Public looked like it was filmed in a library.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know if the library is what she said. That's what I remember.
Oh, no, she just said at my place of work. I don't think.
Oh, yeah. Library. At her work. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. You just maybe assume she worked in a library because she's wearing glasses.
Chris. Yeah, exactly.
Now, Rob, last week you talked to you about your mom, and I said to me, because you described your mom with like everything around her.
Uh-huh.
I kind of put Sexy Dancer's face and body and self into
not
your mom.
All.
I know, but just the like the cool factor or whatever.
Gotcha.
So because of what you said about your mom, do you think Sexy Dancer is actually into Gary?
No, I don't. And I may not have said that before, but like my mom didn't express any interest in watching this show again when I said I had this podcast to record today. She was like, that Gary dude is just such a dork and I can't watch it. And I was like, fine with me. I agree.
Now, do you think your mom, because Sexy Dancer says this, she says she does not have a good picker. does your mom think she has a good picker? Because sometimes, yeah, those men can be men that you're typically into that are like that, as a as someone who is also that person, can be not, you know, good news to your life.
Honestly, I think it's fine. Like, everyone except for my dad seems to be a great pick.
But your dad falls to me, what you're telling me about your dad being a bar owner kind of falls into that for me, but I don't know. You tell me.
Nah.
Okay. You know these people. I know two facts about them.
But I understand
this is the Bachelor PhD. The Bachelor psychiatry session.
Not the BGS. Yeah.
Craig, that's the same. Anyways, you made us go here. Okay. I guess I got one last thing about Gary's lion tattoo. Christian, Rastafarian, safari, souvenir. Like, what's going on there? Did everyone see Gary's lion, giant upper arm?
When did he show his tattoo?
They were in a hot tub in the middle of nowhere again. And they did not bring a wooden, you know, slat, like, beautiful hot tub. They brought, like, one of those, you know, we're moving out of our very small condo. Here's a hot tub. Like a plasticky old 80s one.
To go with me. And you took note of a tattoo that he had.
Yeah, I'm not going to miss a tattoo on, like, a older person.
Was it all, like, wrinkled and...
No, it wasn't. He looked well-preserved.
This guy's taut, Craig.
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to Google this tattoo now because I didn't get a clear shot of it. I need to see an actual photo of it. Why isn't anyone showing me the photo?
Oh, yeah. No, don't worry about it.
Describe it to me.
It's on that's the hard part. It's just a lion with a mane and just, you know.
But is it like a 50s tattoo?
No. Like, I mean, it's just like your standard lion tattoo, and okay, it took up his arm.
Let's bachelor psychiatry session this. What's a lion mean to Gary?
That's what I said. Christian Rastafarian safari souvenir. It has to be Christian. It has to be like that Christian.
Oh, like Aslan or something.
Yeah. Lions sleep with, you know, it's misinterpreting the actual quote. Lion, sheep, Jesus. Cool. See, like, I'm not exactly finding something that'll back me up, but as I remember previously researching for other reasons, there's a lion sheep metaphor in the Bible, and it was talking about how we should act like sheep, but not like the way we interpret it sheep now, where, like, follow the leader. It was more about being docile. Now, you know, Americans Christianity is be the lion, be different, right. like stamp out everyone. That's Christianity. It's not. So I think the lion is a misinterpreted Jesus reference by Gary.
I mean, why not? What else? How else are we supposed to read it?
I think he went on a safari and, like, was like, I don't really want to remember this. This is beautiful. This is magic. This is nature. Let's just believe that.
So he went to a foreign country, saw something, and culturally appropriated it when he got back.
No, it's just a lion. There is nothing on it. I don't think it's cultural appropriation if it's just the animal. If we are to believe that
maybe Jerry's a Leo.
Yes, that is a good.
So that's even worse. He believes that, like, Venus' position has something to do with his temperament.
Or he doesn't care, and, like, it's just like, because you remember, like, that generation also loved, like, mood rings and shit.
That's true.
Okay, anything else about the Golden Bachelor? Because the only thing I have left is that it is kind of funny that hometowns are reversed, right? Instead of come meet my parents, come meet my kids, who will, like, it is kind of that is kind of weird, because I can't imagine approving of anyone. You know, I guess it makes sense, but it's still a little strange. It's kind of cute, though.
And I hope we get some, like, really, like, jealous kids. That would be, or, like, a son that acts like those really protective fathers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, he only has two daughters.
He's only got two daughters. Well, I hope we get that, then.
That was do you remember? Okay, the show had a lot of buzz in the beginning, but then it just kind of teetered off. It was, oh, if I could remember what it was called, but it was just recently. It was about the sons and the moms.
Oh, yeah. What was the name of that show?
Oh, yeah.
So the
MILF Island, or
yes, MILF Island.
MILF.
Well, I think that was the
MILF Manor
one, but MILF Manor, yeah.
So the concept was that the moms would be like, what? I don't want my kid here. No, this is crazy. But the way it was shaping out, like second, third, fourth episode, was more like the kids, the sons, were like, ew, I don't want to see. No, my mom is off limits to you, and would totally be kind of the man to their mom. And it got, mm-hmm. that's what made it more creepy than the original premise let us believe. So I do hope.
But that. Like, do you think for 2 seconds, and that's like, ugh, gross.
Oh, that's where it had to go?
Yeah, my only final thought for Bachelor PhD talking about Golden Bachelor is, and Craig, we might have talked about this on Vanderpump Robs, but like, when did pickleball get the kale treatment? Or the like, you know, the pub burger treatment of 2006. Like, at a certain point, like, big kale, or it used to be big kale, big pickleball has taken over, and I hate it. It's very stupid.
Have you played pickleball?
I mean, it looks like it's a fine enough little game to play, but like, I don't understand the hubbub.
Well, people like to play tennis. That's what it comes down to. And pickleball is tennis without having to move around.
It's easy.
People
tennis,
like to play basketball. You don't have to play a whole game to shoot the ball.
I like ping pong, so I think it's stealing ping pong's thunder. Like, you know, it's outdoorsy, so it makes people feel better. But no, that's not the issue you're talking about. You're talking about where did this all come from? It's just the right. It's
very zeitgeisty, but it's not, you know, like people were playing pickleball. I remember the biggest thing was like, there was this whole bit on Vanderpump Rules, like 3 seasons ago, where there was a pickleball tournament. And then a year after that, and I texted this to you all, like Stephen Colbert and Rob Riggle or something, like, were commentators on Celebrity Pickleball Tournament. Look how goofy this is. And now it's like in the Golden Bachelor, and there's all these other things peppered throughout modern society and media. And
started off as a joke.
There's a lot of infrastructure involved in pickleball. If you think about it, you got to tear up tennis courts.
No. Yeah. You play on the tennis court.
No.
Yeah, there's actually a pickleball court near my mom's house that I walked by today, which is why this is fresh on my brain. That is just the lines painted over a tennis court, so you can play tennis or pickleball.
Right. There's been fights about that here.
Yeah.
Like fights where people, and to me, my
people are fighting over pickleball. No one's fighting over tennis.
Well, they're fighting because
they're
fighting because
they don't want the tennis court
lines.
Yeah.
On our tennis court, because they're serious tennis players, but. To me, it's become kind of, an ironic, not ironic to me, but the way I see it is that people are playing it ironically because, you know, Silver Lake.
Yeah, they're wearing their bootleg Bart t-shirts and playing pickleball.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
so
if I go to spring break ever again, I'm playing pickleball.
Well, you'd go as a senior. Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to tear me away from the shuffleboard court. That's where the real action is.
Maybe for the Golden Bachelor.
No, what makes shuffleboard so perfect is that you can hold your beer in one hand and then shuffle with the other hand.
That is true.
Have you been to that place on York in Highland Park where there's a shuffleball court in the back?
Oh my god.
I think it's called
do not name it, because then yeah,
I can't think of it.
Good.
But anyway, it's fun.
That was my last thought on Golden Bachelor.
I agree with you. Well, it's and of course The Bachelor is like 2 seasons behind anything that's famous, right?
Yeah.
It's like I was telling, we were watching wrestling, and I think there's recently been a steampunk person. Like, dude, that's like 20 years ago.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Like, you know what? I mentioned a wrestler on a recent episode of Vanderpump Rules. And then, of course, the first comment I get was like this really shitty interview he did in 2005. And I was like, well, damn, he doesn't talk like that now. Now I feel like a total boner. Cole Cabana.
Oh, yeah. He has a podcast. That's what I know about him. Yeah.
And I've only heard him say really nice things. But and then apparently in 2005, he did not say very nice things.
Yeah, well, you know, it is like a cultural. There was a defining time. And anyways, Craig.
Yep. Sorry.
Okay. Moving
EZR
on.
EZR and I will start our wrestling podcast.
Yes. Please. None of that here. Okay. I'm banning wrestling.
No, you can't just freely ban. I banned because the quote is out of context, and the man is the author, Chuck Palahniuk, is like a raving troll.
Oh, you mean Fight Club?
No, I mean the author.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I'm talking about. he is trying his best to be a troll, except he's no longer culturally relevant. So it makes it even more, there's a lot going on. I already discussed it. Moving on to Baxter. I haven't
heard him talk in 15 or 20 years. I should look that guy up.
No, don't. Well, go ahead. We'll talk about it later. Okay. Moving on to Bachelor in Paradise, everybody.
When did Corey Feldman become a thing?
See, he has a band with angels.
Yeah, his band is why it's a thing now.
With angels? Was that...
Like Corey and his angels or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not like baseball player angels.
No. And he makes them be fruititarians, according to... Moving on to Bachelor in Paradise. That's a good segue, Craig. Thanks. Okay. Sean, Jess, and Rachel, or Cap, Brayden...
Joey, Ross, and Rachel?
Sean, Jess, and
Could
Rachel?
I be any more in paradise?
No. Sean, Jess, Rachel, and kind of Brayden. Or Kat. And who do you want to go first?
Let's do with the Sean, Jess, Rachel, because that's like a little bit simpler, I think.
Okay. You think it's simpler. We also kind of have Eliza, Aaron, John V, Olivia, John Henry, and Peter. But I am not interested in those, because the thing is, we got like a half of an episode, even though it was 2 hours long. We got
focused on a shy John Henry. And I'm sure in Bachelorette, they talked all about the American tall tale of John Henry. But like, it just felt so... Why are you on this show if you're so shaken up?
Underwater welding the most, or as Jesse said, literally the most dangerous job? It could be.
It could be, but also he's like, I do that like twice a year. My job is much more than that.
He's like, I've done it.
Yeah.
That was weird. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Okay. Well, you know, let's start with, Sean, Rachel, and then Jess. The brilliant strategist that he is, Sean, probably learning from his politician, right? Also, you are being recorded. Why are you lying? You will look bad. go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's just Brayden also looking like a total child here, too. Like, Sean was dumb, but Sean's intention was like, oh, well, I'm not feeling Rachel. I should definitely talk to someone else before I leave the island, just in case. Like, he's hedging his bets, and I get that. But he goes about it completely wrong. He can have that conversation with Jess and then shut up about it. But the fact that he had to talk with anyone at all before that really blew up his spot. And then
word
Brayden,
to the wise.
Yeah. And then Brayden just being like, I should probably tell Rachel about this. And I hate it. I hate it, hate it, hate it, because it wasn't his place to even do that. And I'm not even talking the bro code sort of thing. I'm talking that, like, you are actively inserting yourself to be the good guy because you have good guy syndrome. He's, like, trying to white knight all over this place.
So you think Brayden did it intentionally because he acted right afterwards? Like, he didn't. Like, he's like, I didn't mean, Like, he wanted to say it and have her get over it And I mean, okay, this is what he leads us to believe. I'm not sure if this is true, but he wanted to say it, have her get over it, and then be there for, you know, run to her, his waiting arms.
Yes.
But
that is what he wanted. His intentions were to obtain Rachel. But what he's not understanding is he's just going to be the person that instigates a huge fight, and then that's not something that's going to garner a healthy relationship.
So then doesn't that mean that he did not intend, that he did not mean to do it?
I don't think Brayden is emotionally mature enough to think that through.
So then he did not mean to, like, he did not think that that would lead to that.
No, I don't think he thought it would. I don't think he played the tape forward long enough to see the explosion that it would call. He just thought, like, oh, I will tell this person, and they will go, oh, thank you, Brayden. Let's go make out on the beach.
Yeah.
He didn't
So then Brayden is kind of not at fault. I mean, that's kind of, that's what I'm
He's at fault for not being thoughtful. Like, he's at fault for being dumb, for not being a person who can critically think about stuff, which is exactly back with the cat situation. Regardless of what the actual facts are, he moped around all day, and, you know, people not like me would say that he manifested the breakup because that's all he thought about. But really, all he did was make himself feel bad so that he was not pleasant to be around. Now he thinks he's going to make someone feel good and be pleasant to be around. He cannot critically think about these things. He just thinks about what he wants. And when it doesn't go his way, it's like, ugh, I fucked up. And I hate that.
Right. But then it still means that he unintentionally broke them up. Like, he meant to say what he said, but he didn't think it would go that way where Rachel got up and said, Brayden said, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I don't think
he thought that.
But he do think his intention, like we said earlier, I'm getting a little bit in the weeds myself, but his intention was to break them up.
See,
his
intention
was to have Rachel choose him.
Right there, though, with all that's happening, I see only Sean's, you know, blunder more than Brayden's. Because Brayden saw opportunity based on the fact that Sean took Jess, and then Sean couldn't even. Well, first off, if you have been in someone's company for 4 weeks and nothing has organically happened, four weeks on our TV, then maybe, you know, be their friend and hang out with them all the time. But I can't tell what's happening where he is totally not, he's being ridiculous. So here is, well, I do have, just rejecting Sean was pretty good cringe. But then Sean, of course, makes it work because I think he's so lucky. Any woman is interested in him. I don't think he sees that. He reminds me of this other contestant, Evan. He was the erectile pill salesman married Carly.
Yeah. Oh my god.
You love Evan and Carly.
When he he faked getting sick so that she would show sympathy to him.
Yeah.
Yes. And then he he couldn't get the girl he wanted, so then Carly was there. and then they built an empire, and then of course they broke up because it didn't make any sense. But here is Sean kind of digging himself into that hole with Rachel, which is pretty classic to see hear.
With Jess, you mean?
No, I could play that too, but I kind of want to go to the meat now that we've kind of gone over it. Because there's not much there with Jess. You know, Jess tries to let him down gently, and he has to hear it, which is even better, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, so you're telling me no, right?
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, exactly. But here's Sean and Rachel. Rachel comes up to him and says, I heard this, WTF? And he's like, I take it back because she rejected me.
I like hanging out with you. I just felt like I haven't talked to anybody else.
They said that you have been struggling because you're like, oh, well, Rachel really likes me, but, you know, I want to talk to Jess. But you have never told me how much you were struggling. So how would I know?
I know.
Do I deserve that?
listen, I'm gonna feel some type of awkward way if like I haven't explored connections and I can't fully go into you. I feel differently right now after having that conversation. Honestly, like at this point, I want to keep talking to you. Like I'm not gonna continue to pursue Jess because we were talking and like we weren't communicating effectively. No, I'm not. I never.
That's what you just said.
What did I say?
You said we weren't communicating effectively, so I'm just gonna pursue you because that didn't go well.
She accidentally landed on it there. Yep. But I don't think she knew based on what we saw. But see, on the other side of this, Rachel looks so bad to me again. She should be the Bachelorette. And no matter how hard it is to stay off of Paradise, you know, the FOMO you get, she looks so bad to me here. And I know that's kind of like victim blaming or something like that, but I don't care. She looked bad to me. She should not. She was a Bachelorette. She deserves to kind of be more regal, you know, more up than all of them. And she's not now. Now she's with everyone else and she's getting rejected by like the one guy that should not be rejecting you.
Yeah.
Well, if there's a reason, I was just going to say there's a reason why she was on The Bachelorette. Because I do not think she is a solo Bachelorette. And I think they're trying to, Bachelor Nation is trying to figure out where to place Rachel, and it's maybe she's just not a candidate for this show.
You're saying that, right? She got it. I mean, first off, it used to be a merit-ish game to get the lead, right? And then it became a if you, in quotes, deserve it because you got embarrassed on national TV, then you get to be the lead.
Yeah.
The fact that she doubled up makes her even more not the lead, like, status to you.
Well, yeah, and she's, like, we don't really see anything from her. And this is maybe a conversation for supplementary Bachelor PhD podcasts, but I think everything in the opening credits says who the contestants are and if they are good for Bachelor in Paradise. And just go back and watch some of them. The people who are trying too hard one way or the other, that's one thing. The people who aren't committed to the bit, that's another. And Rachel just has a very middle of the road everything and is only activated, like our friend Lindsay Hubbard, when she's brought into drama. Have we seen anything from Rachel in these 4 weeks of the show except for now? Pretty much. And it's, I don't know, it's a little tough. I don't think Sean was doing the right move here by any way, shape, or form, but like I'm not team Rachel by or team Sean in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not exactly that. It's more like Rachel should fake it until she be, you know, there are ways to kind of gracefully pull off a lead breakup.
Yeah.
But like, and also, you know, how can you, if you are the Bachelorette, even if, let's just say you have 30 men and only 10 are actually interested in you, only 5, that's still way better than what Bachelor in Paradise is ever going to offer you. So do not, you know, do not try to keep chasing that high of being on TV for the sake
looking
of
at you, Blake. Looking at Blake.
Oh, yeah. Well, Blake's got it right. He's hacked it, though. He doesn't even care that he's just like Jess and him are just trading off roses. Right. I've never even seen them together.
I know. We don't know anything about.
Was he even in this episode at all?
Yeah.
He was at the bar, like watching Sean, like laughing at the fact that Sean was pulling Jess. Like, yeah. You know,
he put his arms around Jess at one point earlier on, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's smart to kind of do a friendship rose thing until you feel like you've been on TV long enough. But
yeah.
He's one of the Bachelor in Paradise hackers who I don't always appreciate. Sometimes I hate them. I hate Logan. But I appreciate he's smarter than a lot of people that go on The Bachelor. So that always impresses me sometimes. And I'm like, whoa, interesting. Okay. Anything else about the Sean, Rachel,
no, boring.
Jess, and then eventually Brayden thing? I mean, okay, nothing about
Brayden. We talked to the Brayden.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I'm saying the makeout part. Okay, moving on. Cat, your guys's cat, not my cat. I don't mean to, again, I am not on Bachelor Nation's side. I'm on my own side. Cat does suck. But, and I do like Brayden. But
Craig, what were you? Well, I got a question for Craig, real quick.
Hit me.
Two-parter. What did you think of the swear jar anonymous tip box that Wells put out, and then that led to the cat drama? And then part two, what would you have put in the swear jar? I guess that's a question for the room.
I would have put in something completely random. I'm sure. Like,
so random.
Like, for instance, what would I put in the swear jar? I would have put, like, Jim Jeffries would make a great Speaker of the House or something like that.
And then everyone would be like, who's that?
Ooh, everyone's like, McCarthy's in power. What are you talking about? How do you know the future, Craig? This was filmed 3 months
no,
ago.
No, actually, I think, let me make sure I'm not mixing up my people. I think Jim Jeffries just dropped out.
Yeah, because
we go to C-SPAN here.
It doesn't know.
What would
no,
you
no,
put
no,
on ECR?
Jim
what
Jordan.
You...
Sorry, Jim Jordan drops bid for speaker. That's the headline on C-SPAN.
All I want to hear about is Jim Jones. Am I right? That would that would make this a little bit more exciting of a TV show.
Yeah, there's not far off the cult.
But I loved it. It made. Cat squirm, which was fun to watch, and then she
squirm.
Lost it, which I
she like went full on. That's not a squirm, Craig. If that's a
well,
squirm,
well, she was
like,
squirming at first.
The squirm to the like idea of like, oh shit, I know where
breakdown.
This is going.
Yeah,
and then what's with the?
You know, I love it when people lose it.
Oh
who's
yeah.
What's the guy's name again? Who's like been aggro the entire time? And it's like, I'm just gonna bust this fucking
Aaron.
Thing open.
Okay.
What is that steroids? Like,
no,
why is
no,
he
no.
So angry.
He was absolutely 100% paid to act like that. 100% paid. We already know around how much it went, how much things like that go for when they act or
oh,
when they do something chaotic.
You met. What's his name in person?
Yes, but
Mike
that's
Fleiss.
Leo. But
Leo,
meet Mike Fleiss. But
you met Leo, and Leo told you that he got paid to act like an asshole on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, in every Bachelor in Paradise, as Rob, you know, there is like an element of jump the sharkness, where they're like, "How do we fill time?" Even though there should be plenty of things to, in quotes, I think what happens is that their narrative runs away from them. And
yeah.
They have no idea how they're not. They have not taken anything like, you know, above 1 year of film.
Yeah.
And they cannot. They are incapable of of making a storyline in any way
the
that's more complicated.
You know, I don't know if you both know this, but I went to acting school in college. I majored in theater performance, all that. And the sign of a bad actor is jumping to anger. That is when that's the first thing you go to heighten the scene. And that's because anger comes so easy to humans.
To men.
And well, yeah, sure.
I don't know. We're talking about Kat here, who got very angry.
We're talking about Aaron.
Very easy.
Aaron, firefighter Aaron breaking the box, where he was obviously being paid. But okay, well, here's the thing: is that before we start,
okay,
with
can we talk about him though a little bit more?
Screaming about Aaron?
Yeah, because he was with Aaron? He's with Sam, right?
Was with.
Why didn't he leave with Sam? That would have made him
because he
given
wants
him
to be
perfect,
on TV longer.
But it would have been the perfect exit for him. He would have been like a golden boy in Bachelor Nation if he had left.
But I don't
Sam.
Think he wants to be associated with the poop lady. And I think it's more important for him to be on TV and to not have poop association than it is to be like a potential golden boy for leaving with Sam.
I don't know. I think that's my opinion.
It's ridiculous for him not to leave. Yes, in every, Rob, we put our publicist hat on, and 100% you should leave at that moment because you'd be much better off in every
but
way.
But he ain't that smart.
Nope, he's not that smart.
It's more important somebody for him to be on the beach and get free drinks.
Yeah, if there's anything more isolating than like the Bachelor Mansion is like taking them on a vacation. Where literally like everyone around them is not, that's the thing is that Blake gets it right. He's off camera, but he's on camera, but he has a relationship, but he doesn't have a relationship. So I want to go into the Kat thing with you guys, but first so everyone's calling out Kat. Oh, you know what I'd put in my truth box, Rob?
Yeah.
I'd put in that Olivia is desperate for any guy that walks down. I want to say she would be. And true or not, I think it's true for all of them, kind of, in a way. Not really. Some of them are not really, you know, I don't know what the word is. Like, they're just not hungry for a relationship or something like that. But Olivia, I think it would set her off if we're trying to set, if we're trying to instigate fights, right?
Yeah, well, you know, like, Jess doesn't seem all that interested in anything. So,
you know what I'd write on there? I'd write, Wells keeps talking shit about one particular cast
member.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And well, then Lord of the Flies, the whole thing.
Ah, yeah.
I would have written Bachelor PhD.
Oh, 5 stars, Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. Make sure to leave a review.
There's a few things that, you know, unbalance Kat. It's been simple. She thought, I think the best thing that kind of throws her off is that she thinks that after her date with Tanner, she got it all out there, right? She officially dumped Brayden twice. Mm-hmm. She talked to the women about it. She settled the score. But then they keep bringing it up because to them it's not. To Aaron, who has a men's rights, like, you know, vision for life. He's like, how dare you? How dare you? Like, disrespect my friend, who wasn't his friend, as I remember. I know they're friends now, but I don't remember them in Charity season, like, liking each other. But then, to top it all off, right, on top of everything else that she's been to, Tanner says this.
Brayden feels blindsided completely.
I understand. I don't understand that, but I've heard he said.
So we were in the pool the other day, and he was telling me about the situation.
Okay.
And he told me to be careful about you.
He told you to be careful about me?
And he said things were going really great between us, and it was a complete 180 out of nowhere. So he said, just be careful.
I mean, that's his opinion, but that's just false.
I know how me and you are right now. It's probably pretty similar to how you and Brayden were.
Of course it was. I'm not someone that, like, switches it up. Like, you know, you see what you get.
But when it keeps resurfacing, then I'm like, okay, well, should I be cautious? Is that going to happen to me?
What is going on? I feel like I've shown myself.
Team Kat.
Well, but it's for this. If Tanner's opinion wants to be based off of what these boys are saying, then that's his problem.
Oh, man. And then off the deep end it goes. And are you Team Kat? Like, I'm not sure if you know what you're saying, Craig. And I'm not trying to salvage anything. I'm just trying to make sure she is... you liked watching the car wreck, right?
Yes.
Oh, speaking of car wrecks, there's a one happening outside of someone's
Craig
door, right?
Craig does not mind.
There's been a lot going on in the last few weeks, I've noticed.
Ah, where was I? No, you don't. You don't like you. I know you're attracted to crazy.
Well, I'm gonna need you to draft an apology for saying crazy, and then we'll read it over. And
I'm not gonna disagree with you, EZR.
But is there something else? Is it just you being against everyone else, or is it because you don't like Brayden? I don't trust your like right now. Like, if I felt that your Team Katniss wasn't you being put in a corner over it, I don't trust it.
I like it when people melt down, and I like filling in the backstory. Like I just, like, picture her whole life flashes before my eyes when she melts down, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, she was a model, and she always got what she wanted, and she's never had a guy say no to her, and her parents pampered her. She got everything she ever wanted in life.
You're filling in her backstory, right? Gotcha. Okay,
and it's
wait
just
a minute.
Fun to see all that kind of come crashing down for a few minutes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, her whole thing here at this point is that unlike some of the other blindsiders, right, she might not have conferred with Tanner as much as she should have, or Tanner was just like, yeah, I'll go along with your plan. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Mm-hmm. So here is the, the main course here of this whole 3 hours of Bachelor programming.
I don't need to explain anything else to you. You can literally f*** off. Why would I care? You can ask me whatever questions you want. That does not mean I need to answer them. Go hang out with the crowd. I don't have time for it. I don't care to put any more energy towards it.
It's fine. Okay. You literally confirmed everything that I thought about you. That's great.
Aaron S., I'm sorry. There's a reason you're single at 33. We all came here to establish connections. I'm sorry if you don't like the way it was done.
That
I
is
know
true.
That I'm a graceful and respectful and charismatic person, and I'm confident in that. Aaron S.,
and then they so cut down to the beach.
You're screaming. Yeah. Okay. I don't understand that. Leave everyone alone just because you don't have a relationship to explore. So you want to go and stir the pot? And Brayden is probably just as bad. You are all being bad. Get out. Aaron S. has got to go.
You can't be here with us.
How dare you speak on me like you do? Shut
hey,
the f-
hey.
Up.
Ho, ho.
Literally shut the f- up.
I mean, this is legit an episode of Mortal Kombat.
The way I thought she, how did she handle that?
Oh, maybe that's
clearly really good.
Let's go. I need a god shot.
So you would be Aaron here, Craig, though. You would be Why? Provoking her.
No. No.
That's the only good thing Aaron's ever done in this whole franchise is...
No, I see. Craig just likes to see it, but I don't think he's going to be the one provoking it.
So you'd be Olivia, who's like, hey, 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 hey.
Yes. Probably, Craig is a total Olivia.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that in the best way possible.
Thanks. I mean, you can't... This was so easy. This was not... You should not be that easy to provoke, especially at her.
I see what you're saying. You know? Well, she's the one who brought up age. You know, she's like, you're 33 and single. Why is that?
It has nothing to do with being 33,
she's
but yes, he is single for a reason.
According to her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she should have a more solid temperament, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, he's single because he's an MRA, and it's painted all over his face.
What is that? What? Oh, men's rights.
Oh, men's rights
activists. Yes, activists. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But he is, to me, Aaron... Firefighter Aaron, unlikable, very unlikable. Like, I cannot, I understand what you said, just that one thing, but everything else, I'm like, well, you should not be on TV. This, I know this is supposed to be good, but I don't know. I didn't find it as Maury-ish as we'd like. Like, she did not go up to someone. She just vented. I don't know.
She vented. I think she hit, like, that limit, and this is why I am more siding with Kat on most things, because, like, I get it, much like the middle school me. Like, I'm going to be, fine and try and, let this wash over me until you keep poking me. And then it's just like, all right, the werewolf will come out now. And I'm not proud of it. And I don't really do it anymore. But I can see that Kat has not reached that stage.
Exactly. Middle school. Yes. It is like, you don't, and now that we're all, you don't want people to overhear you, even on purpose.
Yeah.
Even if you meant it.
Yeah.
Man, I just don't see the Kat is not, she's not a compelling anything to me. She's not a compelling villain, not a compelling.
Well, it's fair. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's the hard part for me is that.
It's these actions that I can understand, but it's not like that I give a shit about Kat at all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I give a shit.
You said troll. You know you don't care. You know you're just going against it. You're just in the corner, Craig. Like, we've been cornered by Bachelor Nation. Don't feel that way. Let it go. Like her, don't like her. Like something she does, don't like something she does. She's just kind of boring to me. She should have just. I don't know. I'm not sure what she should have just done. But I know that Brayden, Brayden being who he is, I don't know. I guess it is kind of like moot anyway. Okay. Anyone else?
I have nothing related to Bachelor in Paradise, but I do have Bachelor news at some point before we end the show.
Hit it. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, we didn't do this last week, but I do think we should, you know, throw up a huge shout out for Thomas and Becca for getting married and, you know, just giving them our best.
You're kidding, right?
What?
Have you ever listened to this podcast before? Have you ever heard our
show? Yeah, we could care less.
What I will give them props for is that they did a courthouse marriage. Yes. And they didn't do a huge thing. Now, like, I have a theory about Becca, though. And I was not listening to your podcast when Becca's season was on.
Mm.
But I think Becca was like, and maybe you all had this theory too, but ECR, I feel like with the music you and I grew up with, this might be more catered to something you'll understand. Sorry, mm-hmm. Craig, but I'd love your thoughts too. And I'm going to say this in the most mundane, easily accessible language, not music snobbery dork language. I think Becca was a scene kid / emo kid that submitted for the Bachelorette or Bachelor, whichever one she started on, as a dare. And then stumbled into, oh, now I've got to be a glam squad TV person with neutral opinions on everything and can't ever talk about My Chemical Romance ever again.
Whoa, what makes you think that? Where? Like what?
I just see it behind the makeup. And I mean makeup and like not like the actual makeup, but behind like the television of it all and the like cross tattoos on her like fingers. And I can just see that in 2009 she was going to like Against Me shows, or, you know, who knows, maybe even Cattle Decapitation.
But her face shape,
I think she was
kind of, I can see that, but
I think she was a mall kid. I think she was a mall kid that went into the indie rock post punk emo world. Stumbled into Bachelor Nation.
The most I could say to that is that her best friend growing up radically changed one summer when, like, you know, Pete and the guy from My Chemical, whatever, Fall Out Boy, My Chemical Romance, mm-hmm. like, dated. And then all of a sudden, every, you know, she changed. So then she's like, I want to hang out with my friend. And then just hung out with all the friends that the old friend had made, all the new friends. Mm-hmm. And the old friend. But that's it. I can't see anything else. I don't see quite that, because she is so, just watching her season, she was so boring, vapid. I mean, just normal, just like boring. I don't know, not boring, I'm not telling even boring.
You, but
I believe you.
You know those you scene must kids see something. Though, too, though, right? See, you know those scene kids that were actually really boring and vapid, but like latched on to like,
oh yeah no
dive bar culture and trucker caps with dark eyeliner.
I was a little bit too old for that, or like I was into the other side, like I went somewhere else.
No, totally, I get, but you've been to,
but yes, bars. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying,
yeah,
but I just don't I don't think I can confirm how I thought. Like, I'm like, what? Even right now I'm trying to piece together how that would end up where it is. I mean,
like, I don't think Becca went to like an agnostic front show, mm-hmm. but I think Becca went to an 18 Visions show.
Okay, well, you know what else is that? I don't know. I don't remember where Becca.
I'm sorry, Craig.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Craig.
Yeah, this is terribly.
The listeners that this hits with is going to hit so hard.
Uh-huh. I don't know where Becca's from, but that might be more of a middle America, like, you know, like,
oh, true, it, fair,
falling into, whereas me, there was a different avenues, you know, there was different ways to do what you did back then.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I don't know where, you know,
middle America scene kids are not coastal scene kids. That Mm-mm. is very true.
Mm-mm. Okay, Craig.
Can I wake up now?
My goodness.
Well, you don't need to disrespect our talking.
Yeah, rude, like, Craig.
Jeez, this is actually exciting conversation for me. Sorry it didn't involve Darude.
No, I'm thinking more Van Halen is needed right now.
Oh, my God. You're so old. Okay, well, where were we going with that? Okay, so you had, is there any Bachelor news we'd be interested in, Rob? I'm sorry. Because they had a kid, Thomas and Becca. Yeah. And then they got married recently.
Yes.
And that's all from,
page six
or something. Yeah, page six. I do not follow Bachelor accounts. I follow, like, tabloid accounts.
Right.
Well, nothing to say. Eliza, Aaron, not to its, you know, even Mercedes kept Will hanging on after the Tyler thing. Even I kind of don't believe John Henry and Olivia. I don't believe Olivia and Peter. So, like, all these things are kind of no consequences. The only one that you kind of believe is the Eliza Aaron, but I don't even think Eliza's into John B. Brayden and Rachel could be, in rejection land, so they're looking for each other. Could work out.
Yeah, that could work.
Because Brayden,
I mean, the preview. Well, actually, it wasn't the previews for next week. It was just the end of this episode where Brayden and
Rachel
were making out pretty heavy.
Yeah,
and Jess was trying to get that shoe from that dog.
Oh yeah. Yes. And Brayden had the charisma to make it to, like, the final five. Or final two, maybe, even if he had played his cards right. And Rachel was the Bachelorette. So in that one way of, like, star poweriness, I know Rachel, like you're saying, is the Bachelorette's, but I think it was a circumstantial, I don't think they would have picked her as the lead otherwise. Mm. But Gabby did have that lead thing, I think. So anyway, I think Brayden and Rachel could work out. That's my,
yeah, maybe.
That's the thing. Okay.
I mean, we didn't think,
but they are rejected.
Becca and Thomas were going to work out, and look where they are.
I didn't not think that. I just think that Thomas is like a Blake, you know? He's just a lead hungry. He's like, oh, I'm going to get a lead one way or another. Like, and he did it. And I don't think he's not letting that mask up. Much like Joey, you know, he'll never, ever, who we saw, who they said, here's Joey. And I'm like, who's Joey? Like, Joey from Friends? It took me a few Joeys before I even saw him. And
I was, I, like, don't... Joey Lawrence?
Yeah, ooh, I know.
Yeah.
There was a few Joeys that you'd go to your, I mean, they had two leads on The Golden Bachelor. And I was still kind of like, who and who? I mean, I know Trisha, but only Trista. But only because we have to.
Were you watching? Yeah, but anyways, this very first season of The Bachelorette?
No, I'm not. But we have to. We see her all the time on these shows. But Joey, here's my point. Joey, Thomas, Blake, Logan, I'm sure there's more than that, will never, ever for a second let you peek behind the mask and show you their real selves on TV or otherwise, because they're too smart for that. And they're scary people, is my point. And I'm sure there's more than that. And I'm sure there are women in there too. Relax, Craig. But I can't think of it right now. But we can make a list, you know. Anyways. Okay. Kaylin. Kaylin, Keys, Mills, Miller, whatever. Dean. Dean and Kaylin.
Yes.
Them too. Okay.
Yes, they got
me. Now I'm done. No, I'm saying she is a will never let you peek behind, will lie, will take that lie to her grave, like, will never give it up, ever. She would.
Did you follow that marriage, Rob?
No, that is not one I could follow, I think.
And in that way, I feel bad for Becca, because she's definitely, I feel like she's getting, and I don't even think Thomas is a bad guy. I just think it's, it reminds me, and I love Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger came to America and said, I'm going to do this. Like, you know, I'm going to be a big giant star and I'm going to marry a Kennedy. And he had to. He is, like, insane in his, okay, whatever the word is, Rob. He is so determined that he will do it. Like, he makes it so, mm-hmm. Patrick Stewart, you know, he, like, does it. So yes. That's what I think about Thomas in like a way lesser way than Arnold Schwarzenegger, who like actually is a culturally relevant person. Okay. Done.
What are we talking about?
Someone is following me. Rob is understanding.
Okay. Yes, as long as Rob's understanding, and then we're good.
Yeah, and if you're understanding too, everyone, leave a 5-star rating and review.
Yes.
The Bachelor PhD podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Thanks, yes. Rob.
Yeah, well, speaking of 5-star reviews, why don't you tell us about a podcast that gets lots of 5-star reviews?
Vanderpump Rules Party is a podcast. Yeah.
No, not that one.
I host Vanderpump Robs, R-O-B-S, that gets a fair amount of 5-star Apple reviews and a fair amount of I don't like the way your podcast made me feel, so 3-star reviews. And I'm okay with that, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Was it your podcast where you got you got a negative review, but they still gave you 5 stars, so it was all good?
Yeah, I've had that, and then I've also had that happen. Then someone obviously has gone back to look at their review again and go, I didn't mean 5 stars. I meant 2 stars. And changed it.
Yeah. Filling them all out would be negative. Yeah, they did not understand. Well, that shows a lot.
Yeah, yeah. good thing that don't actually help anything at all. So,
see, Craig.
I mean, I think that stop if someone has something negative to say and said it with a 5-star review, I think that'd actually be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that is honestly the more critical way to get eyes on it and not have like the host just
completely
pure vitriol. Yeah. But yeah, Vanderpump Robs, we cover Vanderpump Rules adjacent and Vanderpump Rules proper episodes. It's a podcast about Hollywood, looking at quote Hollywood through the lens of reality TV, and we have a lot of fun over there. Most recently, I had Molly McAleer on. You might know her from Hello Giggles or her podcasts, Mother May I Sleep With podcast or Trend Lightly. Great discussion about some Vanderpump Rules themed Halloween costumes and the time she met Jax in a bubble suit, and Jax said his penis was too big for the bubble suit. Very interesting stuff.
That's my boy.
It was very performative, and everyone was like, this guy is made for reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so go listen to Vanderpump Robs wherever you listen to podcasts, and thanks for having me on another episode of Bachelor PhD. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Yeah,
well, Caitlin's on vacation, so it worked out well for you to be here for 2 weeks. Yeah. And we'll see if that happens again.
Yay. We'll see. Yeah. Sounds good. Okay, Craig. Say your piece.
All right. So we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye, Rob. Bye. We'll miss you, Rob. Bye.
Bye-bye.